And so I speak in the name of the true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today we reach week 5 of our sermon series. I'm sure at this stage you know that we're looking at some of the central pillars of what we called the Reformed faith. 500 years ago, a Roman Catholic monk and a professor called Martin Luther began to engage with the Bible in a deeper way. And as he looked at the European church, he was troubled by a lot of what he saw. And so he encouraged the church to reform itself. And out of that movement came the Reformed churches. And at the very heart, he wanted the church to rediscover 5 pillars or 5 biblical truths. Sola Scriptura, that Scripture alone was the authority that the church turned to. It was through Scripture that we knew God's story, and through Scripture all is revealed to understand life and to understand our need for salvation and to understand the solution that God provides, Scripture alone. And of course, he drew on the very central character of Scripture, Christ, Solus Christus, that it was only through Christ alone that we could approach and be in God's presence. He talked about Sola Gratia, that it was only through grace alone that we are invited to God. God's love for us is unconditional. Then last week we looked at Sola Fides, that it is by faith alone that we trust in God's promises, that we trust in what is revealed through the pages of Scripture. And today we're going to look at the 5th of those pillars, which is Soli Dei Gloria, to the glory of God alone. And then next week we will wrap up the sermon series by tying them all together and asking how they are relevant in the life of the church today. And as I've said each week, what I'm doing is just simply introducing each of these pillars and then encouraging us on a Wednesday evening from 8 to 9 or a Friday morning from 11 to 12 in the rectory to come and to go a little bit deeper, not so much in the history, but in the passages that we look at on a Sunday morning. And while they are all linked, they are also individual. So if you've missed some or you'd still like to come along, you can pick up on the particular week. So, Soli Dei Gloria, to the glory of God alone, what does that mean? What I try to do in my sermons is to give an illustration and to hope that in an earthly illustration it helps us unlock what is at the meaning of the passage and the theme. And my illustration this week comes from a rugby match. You know I love watching rugby. And a couple of Saturday afternoons ago, I had a free afternoon, and I sat down to watch Leinster versus Munster. Now, there was a slight problem in that the match was on TG4, so it was in Irish. So my Irish is not so hot. So what I did was I muted the television, okay, and then I found that RTE were also commentating on the match in radio in English. So I had a speaker onto the television that was the RTE commentary in English, and I was watching the match on the television. So it all worked pretty well. Leinster won, even better. They beat Munster. And when the match was finished, I turned the radio off, and I don't know what I was doing on the couch. I was maybe reading something. So I was aware that the post-match interviews were on. You know, they talked to some of the coaches and players afterwards, but it was still muted, so I didn't know what was being talked about. It was in English at this stage. And as I watched, the captain of Munster, Peter O'Mahony, was being interviewed. Now, Peter Mahoney, if you follow rugby, is a real warrior of a rugby player. He's the sort of guy that you would want on your team every time. He's played at the very highest level. He's captained the Lions. He just is a real warrior of a player. Nothing asked and nothing given in that sense. A real, real tough man and rugby player. But as I was watching our cut out of the corner of my eye on the muted television, I could see the body language of Peter O'Mahony, and his facial expressions were not happy. So I unmuted the television, I rewound it back about 10 or 15 seconds, and I heard the interviewer ask him a question as to whether his teammates had given their all on the pitch. And then Peter O'Mahony's expression came in. He didn't say anything for about 5 or 6 seconds, but you know the expression, he had a face like thunder? You knew that the question really annoyed Peter O'Mahony. I can't say it in church, but I can say that it peeved him. That's about as far as I'll go. But he was really angry, really cross. And then when he did say something, he just glared at the guy and said, "Are you questioning my teammates?" And the kind of the interviewer backed off at that stage. And a little bit later on in the paper interviews, they asked him about the interview. And this is what he said. He said, "Look, it was a silly question. He was basically calling out my teammates, saying that we were not trying hard enough." And this is the bit that I want us to latch on to for the illustration. And I love this line. He said, "I'm a very proud Munster man. I'm a very proud Irish man." And that's questioning the core of everything we do at Munster and Irish rugby. Everything is based around work rate and your want to win, how relentless you are. In other words, it's not about me. Everything is based around what we do as a team. Loyalty, commitment to a purpose that was beyond himself. I admire him, and most likely he will be the next Irish captain. Not about himself, but total loyalty to his teammates, total loyalty and commitment to the team and to the bigger cause. So keep that illustration in mind if it's helpful as we come to Sola Deo Gloria, to the glory of God. Once again, in our travel through these five solas, we find ourselves in the book of Romans. It's the third time that we have found ourselves there. It was a very important book for Martin Luther and for the church right through the last couple of millennia. Paul, who is writing to a group of believers in the city of Rome, writes to instruct them and to encourage them. He talks about God's love for them, God's grace alone. He talks about what Jesus has done, Jesus alone, through the cross, and he talks often about faith alone. But as we pick up in the chapters just before our chapter today, there is kind of a shift that happens. He moves from theory to practice. It's all very well reading about something, isn't it? But it's putting it into practice is the important thing. And so Paul, as we pick up our chapter in a moment, is talking about the theory, the theology behind the Christian faith. But then he challenges believers. He challenges those who are there then and reading now that we must put our faith into practice as well. There is the practical element and application of living as a Christian. And in the opening verses of chapter 12, Paul sets out what Christians are required to do with their lives when by faith they profess to be followers of Jesus. So do, just for a couple of moments, turn to the weekly sheet or to the Pew Bible as I pick out one verse from what we read today, from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So the first thing that Paul does, if you're following along, is that he sets out the reason why he is going to say what he is going to say. He's backing up what comes in the second half of Romans 12, verse 1. This is what he says at the start of the chapter. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." In view of God's mercy. It's lovely to do something for someone, isn't it? Lovely to do something nice for someone. And not that we seek it, but it is nice when we've done something for someone that they maybe pick up the phone, or they drop a little note and they say, "Thank you." It's not that we look for it, but it's appreciated when someone says, "Thank you. I really appreciate you spending time with me. I really appreciate that little kind act that you've done. And this is just my way of showing that. Well, in the same way, Paul is telling us, in response to God's love, in response to God's overwhelming grace, in response to what God has done for us through Jesus, Christians, followers of Jesus, are to show a gratitude-filled response. We're not just passive about what it is God has done for us. There is a response required. And that response can be in multiple ways. It can be in our worship of God. It can be in our praise of God, which we do as we gather together on a Sunday. But Paul also reminds us that our response is something more than just gathering as God's people. What does he say at the second part of chapter 12, verse 1, that we've just read a moment ago? We read that we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In view of what God has done for you, your response is to offer yourself as a living sacrifice before him. And it's on this that Luther builds his fifth pillar. Luther sees a church that has become man-centered. A church that exists for man, to the glory of man, rather than a church that is Christ-centered. So he urges the church, building on this passage and others, he urges the church and urges Christians to refocus their lives, to refocus their worship, their efforts on the one who truly deserves their glory. And that is God, to the glory of God, soli Deo glory, to the glory of God alone. From my Peter O'Mahony illustration, Christians are called to place themselves second and to show total loyalty, total commitment as part of a team, the body of Christ, to something bigger than themselves. That is to God and God's mission, God's purpose, and God's presence. Being a living sacrifice means we are to sacrifice the substance of our lives, our time, our efforts, our resources to God. Our faith is not a passive or a dead faith. It is something that should be alive and relevant as part of our everyday lives. It is something that should spill out from us to attract others to God through our words, through our deeds, and our actions. It is something that should drive us day and daily as we seek to respond to God's love for us. We seek to offer ourselves in service to him. Not because we want anything out of it. Not because we want to be the ones who are praised. But because our efforts are for God and to his glory alone. Soli Deo glory, to the glory of God alone. And as we finish with this part of Martin Luther's Reformation, I suppose it asks me and it asks all of us the question. As we think about how we use our time and our talents, as we think about where our loyalties lie, the question we ask ourselves is, who am I living for? And who gets the glory for all that I do? Is it myself? Or does the glory always go to God? Soli Deo glory, to the glory of God alone. And as I finish and set this before you, I can think of no better way to finish than to say these words. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.